Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. It's Friday, the 27th of May. And in the Northwest London Christian Church, we're studying through the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134. We can't cover all the details in those sermons, so these podcasts give a bit more information. And today we're looking at Psalm 122, verse 5, just verse 5. This is a psalm of worship. The psalmist saying he was rejoicing with those who say, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." He is excited as he anticipates standing in the gates of Jerusalem, it being closely compacted together, all the tribes and everybody praising the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel in obedience. And now he says in verse 5, "There," this is in Jerusalem, "there the thrones of judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David." Now, why is this significant in Jerusalem? Why is it significant in a psalm of worship? Why is it significant in the psalms of ascent on the way, on pilgrimage up to Jerusalem? Why is it significant that the thrones of judgment stand? Surely it's a place of great memories, of being reminded of who these people are, that they're chosen of God, that the tribes are together, that they are to worship Yahweh, the great God who's revealed himself to them and chosen them to be his light to the world. And then thrones of judgment stand. That's where they are, the thrones of the house of David. Well, thrones of judgment were the highest judicial authority in the land. The king sometimes held audiences to hear cases that were being appealed. He wouldn't hear all of them, but some of them. And a throne would be set up precisely for that purpose, either in an audience hall or somewhere in the palace, or perhaps at the main gate of the city. In fact, there have been excavations at Dan, finding just such an area that's been uncovered at the entrance to the gate, where the king would have sat and he'd have had a canopy over his throne and sitting there in order to pass judgment. So we do know that in the gates, in the palace, in Jerusalem, there would have been these thrones set up specifically for judgments to be passed on cases that were appealed. And so the psalmist is reminding himself, and perhaps together they're reminding one another, of the fact that there is also, as well as worship, there is judgment. Or perhaps that judgment is part of worship. It's interesting that in the place of worship, we also find these thrones of judgment. As Peterson says in Long Obedience, in the same direction, he says, "The decisive word of God." That's what these thrones of judgment are. The decisive word by which God straightens things out and puts things right. God straightens things out and puts things right. If God did not do such, then he would not be God. He would not be righteous. He would not be holy. What's our response to that? Well, we do are expected to live with reverence before God. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. "Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives here in reverent fear." That's right, to live with reverence, with soberness. And we know, indeed, that Jesus will bring justice to all things in the end. Acts 17, verse 31, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." Talking about Jesus here. "He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." So there will be judgment, and we should live with reverent fear, but we do not live with a fear of judgment in the way, say, that the hard-hearted Felix did in Acts 24, verse 25. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." The trouble is that judgment, it won't always be at a convenient time. Felix was afraid of that judgment, but a Christian, a man or woman of faith, is someone who's not afraid of God putting things right. This psalmist is recognizing that the judgment he's talking about the thrones of judgment, is God setting right things in motion, not just pronouncing a fact of judgment. In the act of worship, through corporate prayer, through songs and scripture, as we hear God's word putting things right, it sets us back on the right path, propels us toward love and good deeds. Worship centers us on God's word. That's why we worship. That's why we pray together. That's why we sing together in our worship. It centers us back on God's word and that God will put all things right. With that in mind, I hope you're able to enjoy your day. If you want to know more about our church work, have a look at nwlcc.org. We'll go on to verse 6 tomorrow. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful day and God bless.